Podcast, the truth is in here. I'm your host today, Carl Sweeney, and I am joined by Tanya Hernandez. Hi, Tanya.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, and I'm eager to look through the listener feedback about the third episode of Season 11 Plus One, which is what we're here to do today.
Yes.
But before we do, Tanya, I mean, how are you finding Season 11 so far? Are you having a good time?
I'm pretty impressed so far. I mean, I enjoyed the first one. I love the second one. I am over the moon about this third one. So, like, it's a complete 180 turn from season 10, which I liked season 10. But, yeah, you know, it didn't really have an impactful episode until Weremonster. But so far, like, it's been hitting all cylinders for the first three episodes, and then we still have, you know, like, seven more episodes to go, where it can only get better, and maybe, hopefully not, but if there's at least one dud later yeah. on, I mean, you still get nine episodes that have been really, really good so far. So I think the season's doing a much better job this time around, and I think having the length of time, having a longer episode list definitely helped. I had always said that they needed 10 episodes when season 10 came out. I felt like six was way too short. But yeah, this one, I think the show's doing really good so far.
Yeah, it's exciting times, isn't it? Well, let's see what our listeners made of Plus One then, which of course was written by Chris Carter and directed by Kevin Hooks. So the first one I'll read out is from Sophia Inez, who says, "Yes, yes, yes. Good story, great acting, and amazing sex. Mulder's smile when looking in the mirror is proof." Yeah, so obviously the very strong suggestion that Mulder and Scully got it on in the bed in the motel.
Jillian posted it on her Twitter. That means it's canon. It happened, for sure.
I think it did, and quite possibly again after the
twice.
End of the
Yes, twice.
At least twice, at least. So what do you make of all that and like the bed scene, like the conversation on the bed?
I thought it was great. I know a lot of people were like, oh, it's clunky, it's too long. To be honest, like, we haven't had them be that personal in ages. And considering that this is like they've been partners for so long and they've been friends for so long, and then, you know, intimate at a certain point that we knew about but would never, like, we suggested, I think it's a conversation that needed to happen on screen for our eyes. It wasn't flowery or anything like that. It wasn't like the Notebook. Like, I don't want my Mulder and Scully to be like a Notebook scene. Like, that's absurd, you know? Yeah, he brings up like government conspiracies, but that's Mulder. Like, you know, like, that's always in the back of his mind. So I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was very nice. I believe one of the other co-hosts two episodes ago, when you guys were talking about the Mulder Scully dynamic, she mentioned that, you know, it's a shame that when Scully mentions, like, maybe you could fall for someone younger, and Mulder makes a face, like, are you kidding me? Like, Scully's face was turned away. So, like, you know, had she been facing him, you know, that conversation could have steered in a different path. But I like that, you know, she has these fears in her, and people are like, oh, how could she have, like, you know, these are things that people have concerns about even in their late 40s, early 50s. So, you know, I thought it was a good conversation. I'm surprised that it was done so well, considering, you know, sometimes Chris can be a little iffy with things like that, and his reluctance to make them a couple, which, you know, people were surprised by too. But I loved it. I thought it was really sweet. And boy, man, I was so happy. I didn't realize how happy I would be to see something like that. But, you know, after all this time, like, it's about time to see them have a little joy with each other, you know?
Yeah, I thought both actors did a really good job with that scene, you know? I've seen quite a bit of back and forth about this scene online. Some people really didn't like it. And I guess, like, the only issue I kind of had is when they get into the stuff about having another child, and it sort of seems like they're kind of simplifying some of the history of the series a little bit. Do you know what I mean? There's kind of a balance between they don't want to go into all the, like, the detail about what went on around William.
Right.
So I guess for long-term viewers maybe might take issue with that, but mm-hmm. it didn't bother me unduly, like, overall, you know?
And then, you know, I think also, too, because the fact that we as the audience know the big twist from My Struggle 3, that I think subconsciously it's bothering people about this conversation, but you have to remember, they don't know about that.
That's it, yeah.
So they're still in the mindset that is, you know, Mulder and Scully's child, like, that they had that child together. So, I mean, obviously we don't know what's going to happen later if, yeah. you know, something changes with that, with their knowledge of that information, but I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was fine. I feel like this conversation was way better than the most cringeworthy was my dearest Dana letter.
Oh, yeah. That's no one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. I was like, really? I was like, he would never say that. So, yeah. I mean, I think this was true to the characters. I think this was a truer conversation to their characters than they've had in a long time.
All right, let's move on. So, Daniela Marlitzis says, very good Monster of the Week episode, and Karen Connival was excellent. But Mulder just stops at a random door in the hospital, and that just happens to be the suspect. Bit too easy. Bit too easy, I think. I have issues with the bed scene, too. Scully's insecurities really surprised me. Well, I mean, we've talked a little bit about the bed scene, but what about Karen Connival, then? Because I was actually fortunate enough to be able to talk to her a few days ago, and I think by the time this episode goes out, people will have heard that interview.
Wow.
But, yeah, she was really nice. And in the episode, I thought she, like, really knocked it out of the park. But what did you think?
I couldn't say enough about her. I actually tweeted at her a couple times how fantastic she was, and she graciously, like, replied, and I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, I thought she did fantastic. You guys, you yourself have made comparisons of this episode to Home Again, which I definitely see, because Home Again was, it had an X-File, but it had a more personal story about Scully and her mom. In that episode, I loved the Scully stuff, but I really did not like the X-File part of it. Whereas this episode, actually, like, I loved both parts of it. I loved the Mulder-Scully stuff, and the X-File itself was actually really good. And it was a traditional X-File. And I think the only reason, the biggest reason that it pulled it off is because of Karen's performance. Like, you know, that Band-Aid Man stuff, like, I was not feeling it. And, you know, props to an actor and stuff, but there was, I barely remember that monster, quote unquote. But you will remember, you know, Chucky and Judy. And it's because of Karen's performance that she pulls this off. Any lesser actor, it would have been utter nonsense and garbage, I think. And I mean, and to see the dedication into how she created these characters, and, like, she posted on Twitter her original photos that she took of herself when she was getting ready for her test screen for this character. And, like,
yeah, I saw that.
I'm scrolling through the four pictures and I'm like, they look like four different people. Like, it's amazing what she did just in you know, physically alone, and then to, you know, emote it on screen. It was incredible. So I think this episode does a better job than Home Again did. And part of it is because of David and Jillian's portrayal of Mulder and Scully, and really getting to the heart of their characters and really being comfortable in their characters this time around. And because of Karen's performance in this. I mean, those two together, it's a fantastic episode.
Yeah, I agree. I think because her performance was, like, so strong, it meant that the fact that midway through it takes this pivot into being a Mulder and Scully kind of character piece, because she was so good, it didn't detract from it, you know. Anytime she was on screen, it really, like, registered.
I thought. And I think those two things also, you know, because it's so strong in those parts, like, you can forgive some of the little things, like Mulder happening to stop by that door, you know, taking a wild gander. I mean, he's done it a million times, so.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, you're like, okay, you're like, whatever. So yeah. I can forgive that. It's not that big of a glaring issue to me, because everything else is working so much, so well in the rest of the episode.
All right, so let's move on. So Kaylee says, loved it, obviously, but I'm on guard because of the whole this man thing. I'll come back to that in a sec. She says, I don't know what's real and what's fake, but all in all, the episode was incredible and I felt old school X-Files vibes. So have you been following the this man stuff? Do you know what that's referring to, Tanya?
That fourth face in the Lone Gunman picture?
In this episode, that he reappeared on the drum kit in the teaser as well.
Did he?
So, he did. So,
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, no, I didn't notice until somebody pointed it out. It's really like blink and you'll miss it.
Oh, wow. I have to look that up.
Yeah, when Darren Morgan's episode comes, we're all going to be kind of glued to the screen looking for him. But obviously at this stage, it's still like unclear what the purpose is. Is it just an in-joke? Is it pointing at something else? You know, who knows?
I mean, I've been seeing people talk about the alternate reality thing too. I would be very upset if everything up to this point has not really happened. I would be so pissed off, I swear to God. Please, Chris Carter, don't do something like that, because I would be so livid. I like the concept of alternate realities, but they've never done it. It's never been something, like, who's going to start something like that? Like, you know, I think, let's continue the course that we're going on. Let's not freaking throw alternate realities and get into Lost territory with that, because as we know, Lost started off really good and then it turned to garbage. I don't want this. I want this to end well. This is supposed to be the last season ever. Please don't overcomplicate things on something that's already been overcomplicated for 11 seasons. So, you know, I think if anything, it's probably just a Easter egg, to be honest with you, just to get people talking.
That's kind of my instinct, but I could well end up with some egg on my face in a few weeks. We'll see.
You and me both. I really hope not, but...
Yeah. All right, let's do a couple more. So Elizabeth says, it was a very strong Monster of the Week for sure. I thought there was a lot of metaphorical imagery in there, as in Mulder and Scully fighting themselves, basically, which I found interesting that Chris Carter included that within a relationship-heavy episode. Was there a correlation there? Was Carter trying to imply that Scully and Mulder need to fight their own demons first before ever fixing their relationship? Speaking of the relationship aspects, the bed was extremely personal and sometimes hard for me to watch, which I think was part of their goal. Sometimes I felt like their conversation during the bed scene was out of place after seeing their extremely comfortable and flirty behaviour in this. Maybe episodes should have been flipped. Overall, great episode. So, I mean, we're going to come back, because this comment about maybe the episode should have been flipped comes up again later, so we'll return to that. So let's just... the next one is from Reynard Muldrake, and he says, it has a season 3 feel similar to Chris Carter's The List. Better than average episode, quite forgettable if it weren't for Carrion, who was brilliant. Well, I'm not sure if people are going to forget those bed scenes, personally. Right. But I take the point. Bed scene, clunky and too long. Last scene of the door, good. No one seems to be discussing Dean chatting up Lisa, probably because it's not Scully. 6.5 out of 10. So Dean being the lawyer.
The lawyer, yeah.
And Lisa being the waitress. I think what I liked about Dean, even though he's kind of, you know, he's just an incidental character.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at least we got to see he was really aggrieved that the young man had killed himself.
Yes,
but then we also saw the other side, that in the diner, he was a bit of a sleazeball. So,
yeah.
At least we got to see a couple of facets of his personality.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there was a problem with that scene, because they know each other.
Yeah.
Because it's established that he's a regular there, so she knows him, and she knows how flirty he is. You know, that's not a Me Too reaction is needed for that. That's, you know, I hope people aren't going to be like, oh, I can't. You can't flirt with anybody, not like that. I hope that was not the insinuation there. But
yeah,
it's established that he's friendly with her. He's a regular at that diner in that town. So, like, you know, she obviously didn't have a problem because she just gave it right back. She wasn't like disgusted or anything like that because she knows him. They know each other. So it's probably a banter they have with each other. So I didn't see anything wrong with that. I did like that you did see, you know, yeah, you know, he's typical smarmy lawyer, but that he was genuinely, it seemed to me that he was genuinely upset that his client, you know, was killed in a jail with his hands cuffed behind his back, you know, that, and especially with the whole idea of police brutality and stuff like that. Yeah, I could see, I'm glad to see that they showed him, you know, react to that. You know, but he has that other side where he's like, you know, hey, come check out my swords. And, you know, he had the nice house. And yeah. I figured, like, he was talking about, like, a couple of swords. And then when they show his house, I'm like, wow, guy, like, why don't you just put anvils on the ceiling and just, like, walk through them while you're at it, you know? I thought he was fine. He was a minor character, but they actually gave him a lot considering, you know, he wasn't like a main focus of the episode.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I thought, you know, just, you know, very, you know, quickly sketched in character, but, you know, I thought the actor did well as well. And on the issue that Reynard says of it has a season 3 feel, I don't know, I felt like it kind of had a season 7 type feel to me, except with the fact that we saw what was going on with Mulder and Scully's relationship, whereas in season
always got suggestions and hints that maybe not. Yeah, definitely. I could see season 7 more than a season 3. Yeah, I think maybe the aspect of them, the opening scene with them in the office definitely felt more like a season 3 type of vibe, where you start in the office, he gives his presentation, and you know, and she gives her opinion, and then they go. But I do like that. You know, so I saw, I don't know if any comments coming up mention about, you know, some people were like, oh, how could she still be a skeptic? She will always be the skeptic. But instead of before being so flabbergasted by Mulder's, you know, suggestion, she's like, okay, here's that. She's like, all right, well, let's see what happens. Like, she takes it better. Like, you know, she gives it more consideration, and he even gives more consideration to her theories. Whereas before they were kind of like, no, it's science. No, it's the unexplained. You know, they're more like apt to flow into each other's like thought processes better than before, which they should after 25 years.
And what I liked about, you know, how it starts off with like an old school feel with the presentation and so on. Mm-hmm. I like the fact they weren't trying to play up the stuff about Scully reflecting on her age from, like, the first scene. I like the way it kind of came up quite, not naturally, but it came up when Judy kind of...
nasty Judy.
when she, like, laid into her. I thought that was quite a good way to do it, personally.
Yes.
All right, so let's do a few more. So MKB2018 says, it was such a classic and fun X-Files episode. Could have easily been part of the original series, similar direction and the great music. Karen was phenomenal, and the Monster of the Week story was fun and spooky. Also, the Mulder-Scully relationship was top-notch, and then in brackets, twice in one episode. And then, Katie says, loved it. Felt like authentic Mulder and Scully. Love how they don't commit to each other in words and are coy with each other, but it's plainly obvious they will be together forever. A truly great episode. Yeah, well, this one's an interesting contrast with the next message, which is from Vanessa from the Not Another X-Files podcast. And she says, I enjoyed it, but I'm conflicted. The stuff with Mulder and Scully in the bed made my shipper heart go pitter-patter, but it was pretty contrived. But the episode had a real classic suspense and horror vibe, and I loved that. Also, the stuff with Mulder and Scully in bed didn't give us any closure on their relationship. It's still up in the air. Chris Carter just loves to torture us. So, Katie's kind of saying that, you know, there's a bit of coyness, but it's obvious they'll be together forever. Whereas Vanessa sort of feels like it's still unresolved and up in the air. I mean, where do you stand on that, Tanya? Do you feel tortured by Chris Carter, or... are you kind of happy with it?
I mean, I'm happy with it so far. If they would have just resolved it in one bed scene, I would have been like, what? Like, this obviously is something that's been going on for a while. I mean, we saw it in I Want to Believe. You know, Scully would love to have been with Mulder all this time, but, you know, he goes through a depression, or he goes through this, like, crazy things where he's trying to, expose the government conspiracies, and it gets too intense, you know, and she has to back away, like, for her own sanity, probably. But she always goes back, you know, or he'll always ask her to come back or somehow. So, you know, it's not going to be a simple cut and dry with them.
Yeah.
I don't expect it to be, and I don't want it to be. I never did. Like, I was always a No Romo fan until, like, my stance was always No Romo until the end. So, like, I liked the dynamic, the tension. I, even after they started showing they were going into more, you know, romantic leanings, I liked that, you know, it wasn't a simple, like, sweep her off her feet type of thing.
Yes.
Because that's not them. Like, that's just not them. And I don't want it to be them. I want them to be happy, you know. I love the idea that, you know, they do exist as a couple in some form of fashion, but I know because of them, because of the characters, it's never going to be just, you know, it's never going to be a storybook fairy tale for them. But I do know that they will always be together in some form or fashion, whether definite romantic, you know, or just, you know, if I hate using the phrase the friends with benefits thing, because it sounds so cheap, because their relationship is not cheap like that. You know, it's more meaningful than anything like that. You know, I mean, some people have needs. They have that intimacy, so they, you know, will express it in that form. I don't have an issue with them, at the end of this episode at least, not definitely saying, okay, you know, let's move in together and let's live together or whatever. I don't have an issue with that. If it ends up like that at the end of the season, great. But if not, I won't be mad, because I will still know that they still love each other. They're still going to be in each other's lives no matter what. So that, and that's what I would want more than anything.
And I'll tell you, the line I liked there was when Mulder says, I'll come push your wheelchair with my wheelchair. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a nice line.
So that was cute. That was really cute. Like, you know, and you believe him. Like, you will believe that he will definitely be there doing something like that, you know?
All right. Michael Black says, best Chris Carter script since season 8. Old school Monster of the Week story with some great Mulder and Scully moments. I mean, I really liked Carter's Improbable in season 9, but other than that, yeah, definitely back to season 8, I think. Wendy says, it had a classic X-Files feel to it, which I loved. I'd have liked a little more menace from the doppelgangers, although I did enjoy the way it edged over into comedy. Great to see Karen Conover back. Amazing work. I liked the Mulder-Scully interaction, even if some of the dialogue was a little clunky. It all seems a bit too good to be true, and I think we'll get the rug pulled out from under us before the end. I fear we're in for a horrible surprise, or lack of surprise. Generally, for me, there were some bits that still felt a little stilted, parts that didn't gel properly into the whole, but overall, I was pleasantly surprised. A really enjoyable Monster of the Week. Yeah, so this thing about, I fear we're in for a horrible surprise, I think you just detect from some fans, like, a bit of apprehension about, I guess, the ending of the series, you know. I can sort of see where that comes from. I'm sort of, like, parking those fears for now, and I'm just kind of enjoying the week to week, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, if he brings out this alternate reality BS, I will be so upset. But, you know, I mean, the proverbial rug will probably be when Mulder and Scully get the information that Smoking Man may possibly be the biological father of William. That's probably the rug. But I don't, like I said before, in other posts and stuff, I don't believe that he is. I believe he just said that to Skinner to save his ass. I think we'll get another twist with that, and you know, I still think it's Mulder's kid. I just think he's just saying that, and somehow he found a way to use Mulder's DNA to get Scully pregnant. I definitely believe he had a hand in getting her pregnant. Artificially inseminating her, but I don't think biologically the child this is.
All I know is that Chris Carter has alluded to the series taking a 90-degree turn in the final episode, I think. So make of that what you will.
Oh, Chris.
We shall soon find out. It's only a few weeks. We'll find out. All right, just a few more comments. And Kathy G says, I loved that Mulder and Scully were working a case together, and it was a good scary story. Karen Conville was fantastic. I'm happy Mulder and Scully were spending time together, but their relationship seems to be where we left off after Babylon instead of following episode 2, this. Continuity issue? Alternate universe? And then in reply to Kathy, Beth said, I was also thinking airing order, perhaps meant to be aired, My Struggle 3, plus 1, and then this. I mean, I can see the argument there in that you'd go straight from the motel door scene to, and then if this came afterwards, you'd have Mulder and Scully kind of on the couch, slumped in front of the TV. So in a way, that would be a nice flow. But on the other hand, I like that the story of this came after My Struggle. You know, I thought the Langley story, because it had myth arc tie-ins. Right.
Also, the fact that Scully mentions in this that it's been several weeks,
since
they spoke to Skinner, since the hospital scene, I think that alone places it in the proper spot. Because you wouldn't, after everything that Scully went through, you wouldn't think that they would be on a case this fast, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that if Plus One came second after My Struggle 3, people were like, she's already on a case? I could hear the fandom, she's already on a case? She just had a seizure, blah, 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 blah. So, like, the placement of this actually fits better than anything, only because it gives that gap of her recovering and then, you know, kind of... Because they were kind of in, like, regular clothes. They weren't in work clothes. So it shows that maybe they took a break despite, you know, the confrontation Skinner and Mulder had. He probably was like, take a break, you know. And then they were probably just lounging around, chilling and stuff. And then, you know, after all of that shenanigans happens to them, he's like, okay, get back on a case, you know.
Yeah. No, that's what I thought after seeing this. And then, but I suppose you had the stuff as well where she talks about our home to Skinner in this, and then here it seems a bit more ambiguous, isn't it? So
yeah,
they never make it easy for us to deduce what's going on with the relationship. I suppose
I still think she has her own place, to be honest with you. I don't think she's living there. I'm sure she has keys to that house, you know. It's one of those things, just like with I Want to Believe, that, you know, she would go there, spend some time with him, and then she'd go back to her place after whatever gets her, like, frustrated. She's like, all right, I need a break from you. So I think, you know, they're just in the more comfortable phase, you know, of in this time period, that, you know, she's just there having dinner, hanging out, you know, watching movies with Mulder, whatever. I would imagine at that point they're not in the intimate part right there, you know, that takes place, obviously, in plus one. Yeah. Like I said, they're always going to be together. It's not always going to be, you know, the Notebook.
I sort of took it that Scully probably just, like, convalesced and recovered at Mulder's house.
Right.
This.
Yeah.
And on some level, she still thinks of it as their home.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then maybe in one of the upcoming episodes, we'll see, you know, if that's changed, you know, and whether she does move in, or who knows, we'll see. All right, just two more comments. So, Cortland says, I thought the acting in this episode really carried it. I liked the premise and plot, but it wasn't as deep as I hoped it would be. I think the potential that it's aired out of order has some merit, particularly with regard to Mulder and Scully and their place in each of us' lives. Yeah, so, I mean, people... I can imagine a lot of people going back and rewatching Plus One before this, judging by these comments. I think some people might, like, be happier that way.
Right.
And just finally, from the 1982, who says, didn't love everything, but it was solid. I'm hearing it was the weakest of the Monster of the Week episodes sent to critics, and that excites me. Well, yeah, I heard something similar in that I scanned a few reviews from people who'd been sent the first 5 episodes.
Right.
And I saw some people say that episode 2 was the best. I saw some people say that episode 4 and 5 were the best. I didn't see anyone select Plus One. I mean, what that means is that if episodes 4 and 5 are better than Plus One, they're going to be very good indeed, aren't they?
That's encouraging, because I've avoided seeing any commentary from critics about what they... Even if they weren't putting spoilers, I didn't read anything. I think I might have read one thing. But if they're saying that 4 and 5 were their favorites, and the fandom is going nuts over this one, I am... over the moon. I cannot wait to see what else, because then that would be like 5 episodes in a row that are really good. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's amazing. There hasn't been like a consistent flow of episodes since like what, 4 or 5, season 4 or 5. That would be incredible. That would be incredible. I don't even know, like, obviously we know the next one is Darren. I don't even know what episode 5 is about. I don't even know what's going on. This is great. I'm so happy right now because my show is just killing it right now. And, you know, I know I heard something about, like, the views or have not been as high. But I, you know, I don't even care. I feel like I would be encouraged to see if the actual numbers started going up. That would be awesome, because usually it's the number is really high and then it goes down.
Yeah.
So that would be cool if the numbers start going up, but it doesn't even matter, because it's just like, I'm just enjoying it because this is my show and this is what I want to see. And I just want to see it just put out good content. Like, you know, I just want to see good stuff. I just want to see good Mulder Scully stuff again, you know?
Yeah.
And especially if it's going to be the last time, I mean, I just want it to be good. I, you know, and I'll be happy, you know?
Yeah, I think it's really exciting times, and I just hope this little streak they're on. I mean, wouldn't it be great if it continued all the way to the end of the season? That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? Yeah, we got Darren Morgan's episode next week, and then it's a James Wong episode the following week. So lots and lots to look forward to. And in regards to ratings, I think they held steady from this to plus one.
Okay.
So it'd be interesting to see if, like, on the back of that, maybe, you know, they tick up slightly. It goes up a little
bit. Yeah, especially with, I mean, from what I've seen, like, people were like, you know, they were like, wait a minute, they're together? Like, from some of the reviews I've read online for the episode, like, people were just over the moon. Even people that, I guess, writers that are mild fans of the show, were just really excited about that, you know, and I guess people reading that might encourage more people to be like, okay, let me give it a try again. You know, some of the people that might have said, oh, after season 10, like, oh, this show's garbage or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
so I'm curious to see how that works out. But yeah, I mean, so like I said, 3 episodes in a row, I think that have been some of the 3 best episodes in a long time, possibly getting to 5 that are going to be excellent. Like, that's insane. That's insane. I'm just so excited to see what we got in store for us.
All right, Tanya. Well, I'm always keen to end on a positive note, so I think we'll wrap up there. So just before we go, I mean, where can people find you online should they wish to contact you?
Well, I'm super, super active on Twitter lately. And if you don't mind seeing me repost X-Files stuff for the next couple of weeks, then join me there. You can find me at Amazon Agent on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram on Amazon Agent. And yeah, you can find other, and my YouTube. I've been doing live streams of while I'm watching the episodes live with some friends of mine. So I'm still editing the episode that plus one, so I could put that up, and just getting our reactions during the commercials of what we just seen. And they've been pretty fun because my friends are all crazy. So, And every Wednesday I've been live streaming on YouTube during the episode. So if anybody's interested and they want to chat with someone, chat with a couple people while it's going on, you could join me there on youtube.com/AmazonAgent.
Great stuff, and I'll just say thank you to everyone who sent in some listener feedback for us today. This wraps up our coverage of Plus One, but we'll be back in a few days to start our coverage of Darren Morgan's The Lost Art of Forehead Sweat. And in the meantime, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at the usual places. But until next time, listeners, trust no one.